AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Former President Trump is waiting it out at his estate in Florida with no decision announced yet on an indictment in a New York case involving hush money allegedly paid to former porn star Stormy Daniels. Correspondent Cammie McCormick says Mr. Trump's supporters are keeping close tabs.
An intelligence bulletin details a significant increase in threats and violent rhetoric. Many domestic extremists consider an arrest of the former president as a line in the sand, which could result in a call to action by far right-wing groups. That could include anything from protest to mass civil disobedience and even violence, but there are no specific threats at this time.
The Fed is expected to announce a decision today on whether to ask Americans to pay more to borrow money despite turmoil in the banking industry. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
We're likely to see a quarter of a percentage point increase, which would take the federal funds rate, the benchmark rate, to a new range of 4.75% to 5%.
In California's Bay Area, the cleanup after the 12th atmospheric river of the season leaves more than 130,000 customers without power and millions under new flood watches. KPIX-TV's Betty Yu is in San Francisco.
Hurricane-like winds whipped up waves on the bay and knocked down giant trees along the Embarcadero. A big rig overturned on the Bay Bridge to Oakland, snarling traffic for hours. Pedestrians also proved to be no match against the sudden windstorm. People struggled to walk and clung onto street posts to keep their balance.
A man was killed when a van fell on his tree. At least four people have been killed in a Russian drone attack on a student dorm in Ukraine. It came just hours after Japan's prime minister left Kyiv and China's Xi Jinping departed Moscow. The Oklahoma Supreme Court has ruled 5-4 women can get abortions if their own lives are at risk. CBS's Matt Piper.
The court held that abortion must be allowed in order to preserve the life of the mother after a challenge brought to state law by abortion rights supporters. The court, however, declined to rule on whether the state constitution grants the right to an abortion for other reasons.
Bruce Springsteen rocked the White House last night.
For his extraordinary contributions to the American songbook and for being the boss.
Bruce, Mindy Kaling, Gladys Knight, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus among the stars President Biden honored with the National Medal of Arts.
We're a nation, a great nation, in large part because of the power of the arts and humanities. That's stamped into the DNA of America.
The group awarded 2 years late because of a pandemic backlog. This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com.
Heat, power, and water are things people cannot take for granted. The elderly, disabled, the veterans. With record increases in basic costs of living, people are struggling to keep these services on and their bills paid. If you are in danger of losing heat, power, or water, call 1-800-506-5596 or apply online at heat.help. You may not ask for it, but the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
My former boss, George Stanley, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've told you the story of that my brother and I are fighting over who's going to get our tickets. I think I have claim because I live here.
Exactly.
Right? He's older, but I live here.
Yeah, but that trumps it.
So. It's been decided now. It's done.
I'll tell my parents. That's even more.
You can let him go to one game if he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's Wednesday. It's the first day of March. We've made it out of February. More importantly, the Milwaukee Bucks made it out of February without a loss. They went 10-0 and extended their winning streak to 15 games. And Marquette men's basketball team last night sewed up the Big East conference title for the first time in 10 years, and it's all theirs. Don't have to share it with anybody. Coming up this hour, Sarah Godlewski's group Women Win Wisconsin is part of a larger coalition of other organizations, all planning a series of at least a half dozen rallies across the state throughout March, designed to give women and their allies a place to show their support for reclaiming the freedom to make their own choices about their own bodies and their own health care. And she will give us more details about those rallies coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will check in with Weatherology, get an update on our weather outlook for the rest of the week and heading into the first part of the weekend. And in our Civic Media homeroom, where we take a look around the burgeoning radio network, Todd Alba will join us. He has an 8 o'clock show on most of the stations across the Civic Media radio network. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, 844-967-2789. Phone lines are open, as is the line up north, 715-388-7155. And you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up on Thursday, we are going to have Joe Zepecki joining us for a look at the week in Wisconsin news and politics. Our hometown health segment talks about the period tax and the pink tax, both things related to women and women's health. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly and her guest, Suzanne Herman, will tell us more about that. Seth Hoffmeister from Wisconsin Conservation Voters will join us tomorrow as well and talk about the Conservation Voters Organization's effort to promote voter turnout in April 4th. There are plenty of candidates on the spring ballot who would be good or bad for Wisconsin's natural resources, depending on who shows up to vote April 4th and who they vote for. Then coming up on Friday, we have our usual slate of Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom, national correspondent, Mark Jacob, former editor at the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times. Dan Schumacher helps us preview weekend sports. And then a special guest on Friday, former Missouri Congressman Dick Gephardt, a 1988 candidate for president and the longtime Democratic leader in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's on a speaking tour that includes stops in Wisconsin this week, bipartisan community discussions about the value of democracy and not taking democracy for granted. And that especially includes undermining elections and basically crying wolf when it comes to election irregularities that don't exist, but you're willing to say so just because you didn't like the results. So that'll be Friday morning here. You can catch us live, of course, on Civic Media stations all around the state. But if you miss a show, you can listen back as a podcast. You can listen right on the website, or you can subscribe at all your favorite places like Apple, Spotify, and all that. For details, go to the Civic Media site, civicmedia.us, and that'll get you the information you need to take us along with you wherever you are.
It is Public Schools Week across Wisconsin, and I wanted to share some information from the group A Better Wisconsin Together, which is an organizing and a research and communications hub for progressives across Wisconsin. And, you know, they are noting that it is Public Schools Week, and that this is a time to truly appreciate what we have in this state, but also to be on guard against those who would undermine and even dismantle the great public schools that we have. As they note, last year, nearly 170 school districts went to referendum, including 80 in November alone, and many of them were just to afford basic operating costs, not to build anything new or fancy. These are schools that had to go to referendum just to keep the lights on. And that's what a decade of austerity from the Republicans running the legislature and controlling the state budget process has done. Even while at the same time, Republicans have increased funding to the point where it is not hyperbole to say that you, the Wisconsin taxpayer, you are now paying for two parallel education systems in Wisconsin that are not available all across the state yet, but will expand, but will never be available to every kid, because there are plenty of people in rural districts and other parts of Wisconsin that wouldn't have that opportunity anyway, even if we had the money. But that's money that should be going toward our public schools. And that's where they point out, again, the benefits in Governor Evers' proposed budget to make sure that we keep, attract and retain good educators. We increase mental health professionals who are working with troubled kids. We increase literacy, financial literacy, and other programs that are there. We restore schools to 2/3 funding for the first time in 20 years. All of these things can be done, but only if we are appreciating and working on behalf of public schools. And that's what we're noting this week. One other note about kids and taking care of our kids, and it comes from the Biden administration in, of all things, the CHIPS Act, which is this large new American investment in the semiconductor industry so that we are not reliant upon China and other countries for the vital semiconductors we need in a more high-tech age. And the Biden administration wants to make sure that in return for these very large new federal subsidies that are going to lead to all manner of new jobs, that those new jobs also include affordable childcare for their workers. It could be aid for childcare centers. It could be on-site childcare centers or other endeavors. But it is the proper mixing of carrot and stick to make sure that you're growing jobs while not leaving your workers and their needs behind. More after this. You're up, Mark.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy, fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies today with a chance for isolated showers. Highs around 52, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for isolated showers tonight, 34. Overcast. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Ice level off around 43. About an inch of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Noted, it is Public Schools Week, and we're about that in just a bit with the need for daycare at some of these new plants that are going to be part of the CHIPS Act and are going to be receiving very large federal subsidies, but in return need to do a better job of looking out for their workers.
But before we get to that, we have an update from Weatherology.
Good morning. Well, it does look like today we can expect to see temperatures in the mid-40s to mid-50s from Wausau down to the south to the southern portions of the state today with cloudy skies and chances for rain tonight, maybe mixing with some snow in the overnight hours. Cloudy and lingering in the upper 30s closer to Baldwin and Amory today with a dry night ahead. A little bit closer to a little bit cooler for the central and southern portions of the state here for the next couple of days, but warmer in the west, Amory to O'Hare by Friday with sunshine for most on Friday. So definitely something to look forward to. For weekend planning, it does look like a dry one for Amory and those around that area with pretty average spring-like temperatures in the mid-40s, but cloudy skies for the weekend. For the rest of the state, looks like chances for some wet weather on Saturday in the form of a rain-snow mix becoming rainy by the afternoon from Richland Center down to Milwaukee and then over more of a chance for some morning snow in the morning in the more central parts of the state. Dry into the weekend for those areas, cloudy from Wausau to Oshkosh, and then becoming sunny farther south for Sunday as well.
Well, we're definitely starting to get into spring.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
All right. So that was Jennifer Vichitsky from Weatherology. And we will continue on with the replay as Pat is still out, but he'll be back soon. And here we go, listening to a slightly younger version of him.
And as you might have seen if you're watching on Facebook, where we also stream a video version of this show, we have our question of the week. It's Girl Scout cookie time. We want to know your favorite flavor of cookie. We also know what new concoction you might come up with. And I mean, it's the dairy state. So if you're looking at a Gouda flavored cookie, I mean, you know, don't shy away from it. I think Aaron just made a face. I could be wrong.
I did cringe.
You're not going to go with Gouda cookies?
I mean, I can imagine a worse flavor. Like, for example, you did mention yesterday the bratwurst flavored cookie.
Yeah.
That seems like it would be pretty bad.
There's a lot of things you could do with a Wisconsin theme. I mean, that you could go with pine needles, not actual pine needles, but just the pine scent of a cookie, which to me, that's gin. Gin to me just tastes like liquid pine needles.
Yeah, but definitely.
Maybe some people would like that in a cookie. I don't know. It could happen.
I mean, people put like brandy soaked raisins in cookies. Maybe you just do something like that with gin.
I've never heard of that. Brandy soaked raisins in cookies.
They're really good.
Ooh. See, I'm very familiar with bourbon infused cherries for my old fashions, but I'd never thought of something like that for cookies.
Well, now you'll have to try it.
Guess what somebody's going to be Googling at about 8:01 this morning? Well, 8:15 after I'm done visiting on the Todd Alba show. All right, Aaron, I appreciate that. Let's look at sports. As I hinted at the top of the hour, the Bucks now have a 15-game winning streak after beating the Brooklyn Nets on the road, 118-104 last night. Giannis had 33 points, 15 rebounds. Now that he's back in action, Drew Holiday had 14 points and 8 assists. The Bucks were undefeated. For the month of February, they topped Boston and now have the best record in the NBA, and they're right back in action tonight at home, hosting Orlando. Meanwhile, the Marquette men's basketball team won the Big East Championship outright with a win over Butler on the road last night, 72-56. They finished the regular season at home against St. John's on Saturday. All right, we've covered our question of the week. We've covered sports. We've covered weather. I think that means we're going to get back to chatting just a little bit about what it is the Biden administration is proposing that's going to benefit not just all the new workers in these new semiconductor plants, but also be able to do so without having life get in the way. In other words, what good is a new job if you can't find affordable daycare? And so it is one of several things that the Biden administration is doing to grow the economy while not leaving the workers behind. Among some of those other provisions, these projects are going to be required to share a portion of any unanticipated profits. Companies applying for awards will be required to submit detailed federal projections. It's a way to make their books as accurate as possible and not exaggerate any losses to try to secure more funding. Preference will be given to applicants that promise to refrain from stock buybacks, which tend to only enrich the shareholders and corporate executives and do nothing for the workers or the consumers. Basically, the Commerce Secretary, Gina Raimondo, said the financial rules encourage companies to only ask for the funding they really need and prevent them from diverting taxpayer dollars to pad the pockets of their shareholders. You heard earlier about things like Buy American provisions that Tammy Baldwin has been a champion of in the bipartisan infrastructure law. And all of this is to just, let's pass on this little bit of Wisconsin sense, if we will, please. We're going to hear people say that these are all strings that are attached. These are all regulations. This is government wanting to get in bed with business. This is socialism. All these things that could not be farther from the truth and, in fact, are the things that most Americans would actually want to see. What the Biden administration's critics will tell you is that the free market should decide all of these things. It should be unfettered capitalism. But we have seen what happens when tax dollars do not come with accountability and do not come with transparency. We saw how some of the past economic measures that were done during the Trump years and frankly during the Obama years, when there was a little too much trust involved, we saw skyrocketing stock buybacks, and we saw a skyrocketing amount of overseas, cooking of the books, shifting of the money. The money didn't actually go overseas, but on a spreadsheet it did, which sheltered it from taxes. What you have from the Biden administration, what you have from a president who has served for decades in the Senate and saw all this up close and personal, was that there is a role for government to play in economic development and in job creation. But that role should not be, hey, business, hey, Wall Street, here's a bag of cash. No questions asked. We trust you to do the right thing with it. Nobody does that in the real world. There is accountability. You have to show your work, as it were. You have to prove that you're using the money for what you say you're going to use it for. And this is no different. Is to say that, you know, you're going to, if you want this help, you can buy American. Is that socialism? Is that government running the business? No, because no business has to apply for this help. If somebody wants to build a semiconductor plant and it is a profitable business right now, if you feel like you can make a profit and do it without any help from the American taxpayer, and that way you don't have to help your workers with daycare, you don't have to give paid time off, you can buy products from China instead of America if you want, hey, go for it. But if you want to take this path, these are the rules. And that's the difference, is that this time there are actually rules. There are people that are, you know, looking out for you. Which takes me to a couple of Wisconsin legislators who, frankly, could learn these lessons as well, in terms of understanding that some of these rules, some of these safeguards exist for a reason. As I'm looking around some of the papers up north, I was looking at the Anago Daily Journal, and I see that State Assembly Rep. Calvin Callahan, a Republican from Tomahawk, sat down for an interview. And one of the provisions was it deals with rural health care, which is, you know, again, something that you would want to support, you'd want to encourage. But it was curious for me to see that he is working on a bill that would allow physicians from other countries to practice medicine in Wisconsin. He says there are rigorous rules for foreign doctors, the Anago newspaper report says, which he says is why many professional sports teams will send players to another country for some treatments. If that physician would come here and do that, they would lose their license, an automatic felony, Callahan said, which raises the question for me of, don't you think that's a good thing that we're regulating doctors not to engage in, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, quackery? He says his proposal would cut red tape to let physicians from an approved list of countries practice in Wisconsin. And he says, not to say that nurse practitioners are not qualified, but we need physicians. And he's absolutely right. We do need physicians, and we need more homegrown physicians right here. It's why we're encouraging things like STEM education, so that more Wisconsin kids will want to be doctors, will take pre-med classes. But you can't do that if you're in that same Republican caucus that is slashing funding for schools, and your answer is to slash the rules for foreign doctors instead. But again, that's an example of when you're living in a bubble and wanting to see the shortest path toward a solution, even if it isn't the best one. And another example came from somebody in the 37th District, Representative Will Penterman, who put up something on Twitter about, basically calling out Governor Evers on his budget bill. And he says, Governor Evers' budget includes the addition of a chief equity officer for $87,423 annually in salary. And he says, the legislature will not include this nonsense in the final budget. Nothing really says white guy politician like calling a chief equity officer nonsense to make sure that, you know, we have a diverse and a fair hiring practices in our state workforce. But, you know, white guys, you do you. We will be back with Sarah Godlewski in just a bit. You're up north.
Just joining us, Pat is indeed sunning himself somewhere in an undisclosed location, but he will be back next week. For now, we just have replays of some of the best of Up North News Radio. And up next, as he said, we're hearing from Sarah Godlewski, and I look forward to when Pat returns. Hopefully we can speak with her again about her new position. But until then, we'll have more of the best of the last month.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump is still waiting to hear whether he'll be indicted in a New York investigation into alleged hush money paid to a porn star to cover up an affair. CBS's Jared Hill from Manhattan.
Several sources close to Trump say he's huddling at home at Mar-a-Lago, surrounded by his lawyers and senior campaign advisors.
The Fed set to announce a decision on another interest rate hike amid the banking crisis. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Right now, expectations are split. Some economists and analysts believe that the Fed will pause its rate hike campaign. Others think that we're likely to see a quarter of a percentage point increase.
A deadly bomb cyclone has slammed into the San Francisco Bay Area.
We were looking outside the window. We could see waves crashing on the pier. And it looked crazy. It looked apocalyptic.
More than 133,000 customers have no power. Millions are under new flood watches. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Must remind me of Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Must remind me of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again, then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, UpNorthNewsWI.com.
Just a reminder that on Friday, former Congressman Richard Gephardt will be along to talk about some speaking tour he's doing that includes Wisconsin stops on basically making democracy bipartisan again and respecting the integrity of our elections. Tomorrow, we'll have Joe Zepecki, and then our hometown health segment includes Dr. Kristen Lierley and Suzanne Herman talking about eliminating the period tax, getting rid of the pink tax, why so many products have to cost women more than they should. So those are just some of the guests coming up. And also Seth Hoffmeister from Wisconsin Conservation Voters will be on the program tomorrow as well. But right now it's time to welcome in our friend, former state treasurer, Sarah Godlewski, whose Women Win Wisconsin group is staying a little on the busy side these days because there's this Supreme Court election coming up and is going to be doing some things that you can take part in. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. It's always great to be here. And to kick off Women's History Month, I don't think there's a better way than to talk about the tour that we are doing across the state. So getting ready for the spring election, we are starting to do these Rally for Our Rights, hopefully coming to a community near you, because we all know, Pat, our rights for the Supreme Court race, they're on the ballot. And we've got to do everything we can to link the attack on our rights, whether we're talking about reproductive freedom, voting freedoms, LGBTQ freedoms, to even environmental freedoms. They're all on the ballot. And that's what we are going to be talking about, motivating and engaging people across the state.
And that is so important, because we're coming off of a midterm cycle that, again, was high pressure, high spending. People were barraged with messages. People, frankly, were, you know, getting a little burned out at the end of it. Though I will say that there were people like me, people like you, who said, look, this has been brutal, but stand by. There is one more of these coming, and here it is. So I don't think it's catching most people off guard, but, you know, there is that battle between tune out and turnout. And rallies like this are very much pushing for converting tune out into turnout. You've got to keep that enthusiasm level up and rebuild it in some folks.
And that's exactly what we are doing. You know, we're having these rallies on the weekend. They're going to be fun. You can bring your friends and family members. We're going to have music. There's going to be sign making. And it's really to remind people that this Supreme Court election will impact their day-to-day life. I mean, I was just talking with somebody yesterday about how this can impact their ability to make their own reproductive health care decisions. And everybody knows about Dobbs, but what a lot of Wisconsinites aren't familiar with is our 1985 law that actually says people can have an abortion up to 24 weeks. And so why are we going back to this 1849 law when there's actually a law that precedes that significantly back in 1985? And so this is something, for example, that the Supreme Court will likely hear in with regards to women's right to choose.
Making this seat, you know, again, that much more important this particular election, because it determines whether the court stays in a 4-3 conservative majority. Conservatives have controlled the state Supreme Court for 15 years now, or if it becomes a 4-3 progressive. And, you know, Sarah, one of the things that there's many factors about this race between conservative former Justice Dan Kelly and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz that revolve around the question of women's health care rights. And as we were mentioning in the last hour, one of those things is that not only that a former Justice Dan Kelly has been endorsed by the three big anti-abortion rights groups, but, you know, more or less worked for or worked in tandem with Wisconsin Right to Life along the way. And Judge Protasiewicz has not been shy about pointing that out.
I mean, we know exactly where Dan Kelly stands when it comes to access to abortion and people's abilities to make their own healthcare decisions when you are directly endorsed by these anti-abortion groups. And on top of that, you have even worked for an anti-abortion group. And let's be very clear, Pat, about also how political Dan Kelly is. I mean, Dan Kelly is the person that literally ran his campaign out of the Republican headquarters in 2020 when he ran. He's also the guy that was paid six figures to provide legal advice for the Republican Party. This is legal advice about the fake electors for Donald Trump trying to overturn the will of the people. And so it is, we shouldn't be shy about talking about any of this. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing at these rallies, is motivating people, educating people about, you know, what is at stake in this Supreme Court race, and having fun doing it at the same time.
And I think what really helps that effort is noting that this election is one of those that has a very direct cause and effect. Because, look, you can vote for U.S. Senate, you're voting for one of 100. You can vote for a governor, but you still have a legislature. But in this case, you are quite literally determining control of the state Supreme Court, which affects women's healthcare rights, which affects, you know, the gerrymandering, the rigged maps that are out there, that affects voting rights, other things that the conservative majority has not been on the right side about. And I think that as you get the word out about these rallies, it is that direct impact on the court's makeup that is probably going to seal the deal in terms of getting people who otherwise wouldn't vote to show up at the polls.
I mean, I was just talking to a friend of mine in northern Wisconsin, and she was actually getting her hair done. And she called me right afterwards because she wanted to say, Sarah, I was talking to my hairstylist, and she wanted to make sure I was going to vote on April 4th. She's like, and what we started talking about were reproductive rights. And so it's good to know that this is starting, you know, these conversations are starting to happen, whether they're at the kitchen table, with your hairdresser, at the grocery store. But this is exactly what we want to do, is make sure that we are talking about this, because this isn't just hypotheticals, Pat, as you've said, like these are real issues. I mean, another issue, let's talk about freedom to drink clean water. Something that the court is likely going to hear is a case about should corporations that put PFAS, those forever chemicals, in our drinking water be held accountable? And so, again, these are real issues that are affecting us every single day that the Supreme Court is going to be voting on. And when you're talking about that last person to determine if the court is a liberal court or conservative court, it's all out there on the field.
And let's look at another angle of this and bring back the interview that we did recently with James Obergefell of Obergefell v. Hodges, the U.S. Supreme Court decision that recognized legal same-sex marriage across this country. It is a ruling that was greatly celebrated in 2015, but we've now seen that much like half a century of Roe v. Wade could be struck down, you now have Justice Clarence Thomas saying in the Dobbs decision that we should look at the Obergefell case and maybe scrap those rights for marriage equality. And so when we talked to James Obergefell, he said in so many words, look, I can't, as a, you know, cisgender gay man, I can't be demanding or protecting my right to marriage if I'm not willing to stand up and fight for other groups that are threatened by this right-wing judicial activism. So he is extremely vocal about the importance of voting in this Supreme Court race. So it isn't just women. It's not just pro-choice women. It's not just women and their allies. It's everybody who understands the injustice of tearing down what had been a protected right to get involved in an election like this.
Well, and I think, you know, Pat, this goes exactly to what we have been seeing from, let's talk about just quickly, the federal Supreme Court. They've been pushing things more and more to state Supreme Courts to make these decisions. And Dan Kelly has said he believes marriage should be between, you know, a man and a woman. And he believes in protecting the sanctity of marriage and has been on the record many times. And so as we know, more and more cases are coming from the Supreme Court. Just like we've seen Dobbs, there is a likelihood that this could come down to the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. And Dan Kelly has told us where he is on that. He does not believe in the freedom to choose who you love.
Let's talk a bit about the rallies again. And for, in fact, I should rattle off where these are for folks listening on the radio, that it begins in Appleton on Saturday, March 11th, then in Eau Claire on Sunday, March 12th, Green Bay on Saturday, March 18th, Madison on Saturday, March 25th, La Crosse on Sunday, March 26th, and then Milwaukee on Saturday, April 1st. What, again, people rally, we're all going to stand around, we're going to hold signs and cheer, but what there will be more to it than that. What can people expect when they come to these sites on those days?
So we're going to have a lot of different speakers. We're going to have musicians who are going to be playing and singing songs. We're going to have people who can literally help make sure that if we're not at a voting location or close to one, you can sign up to make sure that you receive a postcard or make a commitment. So I'm going to vote early or I'm going to vote absentee. And then if you make that commitment, we'll send you a postcard so you remember to go vote. And for Madison, we're going to be right down the street from the library where it's an early voting site that's open on the weekend. So after we hear stories from folks, talk with providers who have actually experienced firsthand, We're going to then walk to the early vote site and all vote together. And so there's a lot of different activities and things that will be going on during this rally, but it's all focused on A, making sure we are in a place that we are ready to vote or are actively voting. And again, linking it to the attack on our rights.
So coming back to 2020, there was such a hue and cry from far-right conservatives about an event that is about as Americana as it gets, known as Democracy in the Park in Dane County, where people were able to come and vote early. And you had, the law followed in terms of people that were deputized to be able to engage in this activity. It was not something willy-nilly. And yet that whole process of encouraging people to vote and making it easier on them, you know, has been pounced on by the right wing. And in fact, the conservative justices on the state Supreme Court were quite willing to consider throwing out ballots. And if it hadn't been for swing conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn, that might actually have happened. Now, that is not exactly what's happening here, but you are providing the convenience of being very closely located to an early voting spot.
Yeah, we're not, of course, rallying right in front of any election centers. We're not electioneering, but we're going to be conveniently close. And our whole motto is that we know we want voting to be as easy as possible, and we want to help people make sure that they can cast their vote. And that's part of what we are doing with these rallies, because look, we know Wisconsin has made it really difficult, whether it's getting rid of ballot box or getting rid of drop boxes to forms of ID. And so part of this is making sure people are in a good place to vote. They know where to vote. And that's because we want to make sure that we once again, hopefully, Pat, break a record. I mean, we saw almost 1 million people vote in this primary, which was more than what we saw in the August primary just in 2022. And it would be great to see if we could break another spring election with people coming out and supporting Janet and candidates up and down the ballot.
Yeah, without a doubt. And then the last thing is that normally when we see you here every other week or so, we're meeting yet another woman who at the community level is showing some leadership, and we want to raise those voices and raise those names of folks. I can't imagine a busier time for the women that you've met along the campaign trail who are trying to get people motivated and get involved in this April 4th election.
I mean, I will tell you, I continue. We just launched our tour yesterday. So all of this news is pretty hot off the press. And if you want to find out more information too, I see it, Pat, you can go to womenwinwi.com. Again, that's womenwin.wi.com. But part of sharing this is all the text messages that I've been getting with folks saying, can we do one in Stevens Point? Can we do one in Wausau? Can we do one in Superior? Because everybody, I think, is really knows how important this work is and want to be engaged. And so we're going to try to do as many as we can in this next month.
So definitely more to come. Stay tuned. Sarah Godlewski, thank you so much. Great to visit with you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Todd Alba's coming up next. You're up north.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations. Hey, Wisconsin. The spring election is April 4th. Make sure you're prepared with an ID to vote. If you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, military ID, U.S. passport, VA card, or Wisconsin tribal ID, you're all set. If not, you've got options. For free help getting an ID to vote, call or text Vote Riders at 866-ID-2-VOTE. That's 866-ID, the number 2, V-O-T-E. Call or text today, 866-ID-2-VOTE.
only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 52 today, under cloudy skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for isolated rain showers. Lows dip down to about 34. Mixed precipitation possible at times tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 43. Cloudy skies. About an inch of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
All right. It's been a dark winter, often dark times here during the show, but our little ray of sunshine, Todd Alba, joins us. The sun always comes out about 8:06 on Wednesday mornings when the man from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show joins us. Good morning, Mr. Alba.
Well, good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. And I'm not sure if that was just temptation you put up on the screen or what, but there's some Girl Scout cookies.
I've got our question of the week.
Wow.
It's our official question of the week. Girl Scouts, what flavor is your go-to? And what new flavor would you create? And I just want to warn you, we've already stolen some of the best answers, whether it's bratwurst-flavored cookies Gouda or Leinenkugel. So you're going to have to come up. You're going to have to be more creative than that for a new flavor of cookie.
Yeah, well, I heard, I think it was Chad Holmes was the striped ones, the caramel, whatever those are.
Well, he and I are both, big into the Caramel Delights or the Samoas.
Right. Me too.
Really? Yeah. I'm more traditional. It's 50-50 between the thin mints and the what are they called? Just the plain old sugar cookie. The
trefoils?
No, just it's I forget the actual name, but they're just the plain sugar cookie that has like the Girl Scout logo on it.
Yeah, the trefoils.
That's what it's called? Trefoil.
Yeah.
I thought it was something more complex. Well, anyway, I can sit down with a glass of milk and just go back and forth between those two, eat two sleeves, and I'm fine.
Eat two sleeves.
Well, I mean, one of each, you know. I mean
enjoying at least a little moderation, just half a box in a setting.
I know. Well, I mean, not. I think the most I ever ate in one setting was maybe a sleeve. You know, I can't deny that.
That actually is a perennial question, is does a sleeve constitute a serving? Or is that overdoing it? And
probably overdoing a bit, but especially that first box. You've been waiting all year, and then I think you and Chad are talking about this. Like you eat one, and then or two, and then it's like, well, you gotta have three, and then four. Well, no, throw like five, and then pretty soon,
if you've come this far,
right?
Well, for me, and for me, it's the thin mints come in a sleeve, so that's very easy to do. Yeah. And then you get to the wait a minute, was that half the sleeve? I think I have to eat one more for it to be half the sleeve, and then I can reward myself. But then you realize, oh no, that was more than half. I may as well go a little bit further at that point. The Samoas, on the other hand, the Caramel Delights, come in those rows of five, I think it is. And I mean, you're thinking, okay, well, I mean, four is probably a good setting, but then you go, well, maybe one, or is it rows of four, and then you just want one more, but now you've started to eat into the next row anyway, so why not?
You got to even it out.
Serving size, by the way, officially, if you want to max out the amount of cookies you can eat in a serving size, if you're following the nutrition facts,
yes.
You got to do trefoils, because that's five. The rest of them are all two.
Whoa, serving size is two?
Although Thin Mints is four cookies.
Oh, all right.
But most of them are two.
Four sounds okay, but two is not a serving size. Two is torture. two is punishment, you know?
Girl Scout cookie season. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. So let's move away from that and move into things that one will find on the conveniently named Todd Alba Show. I would imagine that this is a Trig V. Lincoln Project Day. And I was at yesterday or the day before where I was, basking in the glow of CPAC, the right-wing convention that has since become, as somebody else said, it's more like the cantina bar from Star Wars in terms of characters. And more folks are saying, I think I'm going to skip that. Trump won't skip it, of course.
No,
but,
no.
But others are, and it couldn't happen to a better bunch, frankly.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, how spooky it's gotten. I remember back in my days when I was a part of the Republican Party back in the late 80s, early 90s, when Newt Gingrich was just emerging on the scene, and he was the one that really was the key person that started it. And they used to send out cassette tapes. You know, long before the internet, they'd send you your CPAC cassette tape. And a lot of it, in the early days, a lot of it was actually pretty good because it talked about grassroots campaigning, how to organize. It was a lot more organizational in nature. And then, of course, it just went off the rails to what it is today. Like you say, the cantina bar scene and just a bunch of kooks. And so glad I'm no longer part of that or part of that party, what it's become these days. But yeah, we'll talk to Trigvi about that. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, some of her wacky comments. I mean, she just continues to go off the rails even more.
If you missed it before, she was griping on social media, I think yesterday, that the previous night somebody had accosted her and was acting like a crazy person. And what resulted was probably the largest outpouring of pot kettle black, huh, in social media history, because that's how she made her name, was hounding and badgering other people. And now it's happening to her.
Well, and I think we're going to talk to Trigvi a little bit about this. I mean, we laugh at it or are appalled by it or both. But, you know, really, is Kevin McCarthy leading the Republican caucus in the House, or is it Marjorie Taylor Greene? I would think it's probably the latter in reality.
It's the latter. And it's completely the latter right now. And it's something where, again, what's left of any voices of moderation will give it their best effort. But look, I'm a lone voice in the wilderness on Mike Gallagher and the China Committee. I'm going to be first to admit that right now. Is that right now everybody's saying, oh, it's a rare island of bipartisanship in the Capitol. And he got high marks for yesterday's first meeting of the China Committee. And don't get me wrong, there are definitely things to watch about China. But I'm also going to be the least surprised person in America where 6 months from now or a year from now, the news articles are saying how this China committee turned into something that is undermining American diplomacy efforts and escalating military tensions with China, because a lot of things that start off bipartisan, I frankly think, look, to be honest, I think it's a lot of Democrats on that are afraid to say what I just said, to say, oh, yeah, we don't want to look soft on China. So we're going to say all the right things. But, you know, this committee can be a real resource. It can be very helpful. I'm just not laying money on that side of what this committee could turn into.
I'm not too far away from you, Pat. I'm trying to remain hopeful, trying to say, hey, give people the benefit of the doubt until they disprove that. But it will not surprise me, nor it will be unexpected if it kind of goes into the lane that you're talking about. So we'll see. I mean, I'll try to be hopeful. It'd be great if there was some bipartisanship that broke out. I'm going to talk a little bit about bipartisanship today. It is the 30th anniversary of PEPFAR during the Bush administration, when he brought people together from both sides of the aisle and did a lot of good for AIDS in Africa and HIV. And in fact, President Biden called that out in his State of the Union address this year. Bono continues to be involved. And they had a conference down in Texas, or not really a conference. It was just kind of a marking of, hey, here's what we could do when we do work in bipartisan fashion. So occasionally bipartisanship can break out and good things can come of it. But yeah, we shall see what happens on the China committee.
And somewhat in that vein, we are going to be talking Friday on Up North News Radio with former Missouri Congressman Dick Gephardt.
Former presidential candidate.
I know. Longtime Democratic leader in the House of Representatives, who is, you know, retired from Congress, is lobbying, but is also part of a national speaking tour, which includes stops in Wisconsin this week.
Nice.
About trying to bring people together, mostly just, again, to appreciate democracy, to make it, this should be bipartisan. We shouldn't be undermining our elections just because your guy lost. And hopefully, again, I mean, nobody's going to mistake him for anything but a Democrat, but hopefully he can, you know, have some success in these discussions and help more people appreciate the democracy we have and not take it for granted.
No, I liked him when he ran for president years and years ago. I thought he was a good candidate then. So be interesting to listen to that. Look forward to that, Pat.
All right. Well, I hope I've passed the audition and I can show up on your show for the next
Now we're going to do the magic of crossover radio, and Pat's going to be our first guest on our show coming up here in about 5 or 6 minutes.
On many of these Civic Media Radio Network stations. And
missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.